velký mudrci, dej mi prosím instrukce o transcendentální odané službě pánu, aby ten, který sídlí v srdci každého, ráčil zevnitř udělit poznání absolutní pravdy podle starodávných védských principů. Toto poznání získávají jedině lidé očištění procesem odané služby. Význam. Jak již bylo vysvětleno v prvním zpěvu Šrimad Bhagavatamu, absolutní pravda je realizována ve třech různých fázích, i když všechny jsou zároveň jedno a to tež. Podle studentovy schopnosti chápání. Nejschopnějším transcendentalistou je čistý odaný pána, který není některak poznamenán plodonosnými činy ani filozofickou spekulací. Jedině odanou službou může být srdce zcela očištěné od všech hmotných obalů, jako je karma, jána a yoga. Jedině v tomto očištěném stádiu dává pán, který sídlí v srdci každého společně s individuální duší, pokyny k tomu, aby odaný mohl dosáhnout konečného cíle a vrátit se domů zpátky k Bohu. To je potvrzeno Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Tešám se toto yuktánám bhajatam. Pán udílí poznání pouze tehdy, když je spokojen s odanou službou svého odaného, jak tomu bylo v případě Arjuny a Udhavy. Gyány, jogíni a karmi nemohou tuto přímou spolupráci pána očekávat. Nedokáží ho uspokojit s transcendentální láskyplnou službou a ani v tuto službu pánu nevěří. Proces bhakti, vykonávaný podle usměrňujících zásad jako vaidhi bhakti, neboli odaná služba založená na následování předepsaných pravidel a předpisů, je definována zjevenými písmy a potvrzena velkými áčarí. Tato praxe dopomůže začínajícímu odanému na úroveň rága bhakti, kdy pán odpovídá zevnitř jako Chaitya Guru neboli duchovní mistr v podobě nadvědomí. Všichni ostatní transcendentalisté, kromě odaných, nečiní žádný rozdíl mezi individuální duší a nadduší, protože se mylně domnívají, že nadvědomí a individuální vědomí jsou jedno a totéž. Tato mylná domněnka neodaných jim brání v přijetí jakéhokoliv pokynu zevnitř a přímá spolupráce pána je jim tím pádem upřena. Jedině po mnoha a mnoha životech, když takový nedualista přijde k závěru, že pán je hoden úcty a že je hodný a zároveň totožný, a že odaný je zároveň totožný s pánem a zároveň od něho odlišný, jedině potom se může odevzdat pánu Vásudevovi. Čistá odaná služba začíná v tomto bodě. Proces chápání absolutní pravdy, který přijímají svedení nedualisté, je velice obtížný, zatímco odaný chápe absolutní pravdu způsobem, který pochází přímo od pána, potěšeného odanou službou. Jménem mnoha začínajících odaných se Vidura na úplném začátku tázal Maitreyi na cestu odané služby, kterou může být pán sídlící v srdci potěšen.
So the verse again reads, Tat sadhu varyadisha vartama songnaha sumuradito bhagavan yena pungsam hridi stito yachati bhakti pute jnanam sototva di gumam puranam.
O velký mudrci, dej mi prosím instrukce o transcendentální odané službě pánu, aby ten, který je umístěn v srdci každého, ráčil zevnitř udělit poznání absolutní pravdy podle starodávných védských principů. Toto poznání získává jedině lidé očištění procesem odané služby.
Mukam kruti bachalam bangam nayate grimya kripatadam mande shri gurundina tadanam. So the processes of karma, jnana and yoga, although they are given in the Vedic literatures, they're actually incomplete methods for understanding the absolute truth.
Ačkoliv procesy karmy, jnany a jogy najdeme ve védské literatuře, jsou to neúplné procesy k realizování absolutní pravdy.
So even if one is able to approach the absolute Vishnu by these means, he will only arrive at a partial understanding.
Když se člověk obrátí na Vishnu a skrze tyto procesy, tak dospěje pouze k částečnému porozumění.
And this partial understanding of Vishnu is actually the mercy of the Lord for these persons who are maintaining various non-devotional desires.
A toto částečné porozumění Krishna je také milostí pána, kteří pro lidi, kteří stále si udržují určité přístupy, které nejsou v souhlasu s odaností.
So the Lord, by these partial manifestations of himself, he allows these karmis, gyanis, and yogis to satisfy their desires. Of course, in the ultimate sense, they do not satisfy their desires. Because desires are only satisfied by way of pure devotional service. So the karmis who strictly follow the Karmakanda path, they can approach the Hiranya, what is called the Hiranya Garbha manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Hiranya Garbha is the universal form. Hiranyagarbha is the Lord of Brahma, the form of Lord Vishnu, whom Lord Brahma himself worships.
Mm-hmm.
So Brahma is the leader of all the karmakandis. Because he is the giver of the path, the Vedic path of sacrifice. So, but the Hiranyagarbha manifestation of the Lord, Vishwarupa, universal form, is not the Lord's eternal form. So the karmis are interested in this form because, as Lord Krishna told Arjuna, just as he was revealing that form in the 11th chapter, he said, within this form you will see everything that you may desire. The objects of all types of material desires are there within the universal form, because the whole universe is there. So everything that can be enjoyed is on display. Like a cosmic supermarket. So then the jnanis, of course, their goal is the impersonal spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And their desire is to lose their individuality in that Brahma Jyoti effulgence. The yogis, and their goal is the super soul, but their way of approach is not devotional. Although they meditate on the spiritual four-handed form of the Lord in the heart, ultimately they want to merge into that form. It's a very interesting kind of blend of personalism and impersonalism. This form of liberation they desire is called Ishvara Sayujya. The jnanis, They aspire for Brahma Sayujya, merging into Brahman. But the yogis want to merge into Ishvara, into the Supreme Lord Himself. So the yogis actually take Vishnu, the form of Vishnu, to be their own ultimate identity. So even though they realize the personal form of the Lord, still, as Prabhupada writes here in the purport, they think that the ultimate understanding is that I am that. I am that Supreme Lord.
Takže třeba, že oni realizují nejvyššího pána, tak jejich porozumění je takové, že oni si myslí, že na konečném aspektu já jsem toto, já jsem ten pán.
So all these understandings of the Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada typified them. He gave a nice term, philosophized Vishnu. As we were explaining yesterday, they are imposing their own conceptions upon the Supreme Lord. So their methods, karma, jnana, yoga, Prabhupada calls them elevationist. They're all these three karma jnana yogis. They're all elevationists. Their interest is not actually in the Supreme Lord. Their interest is in themselves, promoting themselves. So therefore, they're unable, because they're so self-interested, they're unable to actually establish themselves in a real relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Bhukti refers to the karmis, because bhukti means sense enjoyment. They're interested in sense enjoyment. Bhukti Mukti indicates the jnanis. They're interested in liberation, mukti. And siddhi means mystic perfection. That is the desire of the yogis. And the word kami means lusty person.
Slovo kami znamená chtivý člověk.
So all three are motivated by what are ultimately material desires.
Takže všichni tři tyto skupiny jsou motivovány vlastně hmotnými touhami.
So although they may appear to be exalted followers of the Vedas, there is even a semblance, something that resembles devotion, because they have to dedicate themselves to their chosen path. But actually, that devotion, it is not bhakti, it is kama, it is lust. And then, when you really examine it carefully, then you're left wondering, what is the difference between the karmis, jnanis, and yogis, and the demons, the asuras?
Když to ještě budeme podrobně zkoumat, tak zjistíme, jaký je vlastně rozdíl mezi Gyani, Karmi a Yogi a Asury.
Hmm. Someone may say, well, the Asuras, they are always opposed to the Supreme Lord.
Někdo může říct, že Asurové neustále oponují nejvyššímu pánu.
But actually, sometimes it is seen that the Asuras become devoted, you know, devoted with the apostrophe marks around it. They become devoted to the Lord in a similar way as the Karmis, Gyanis and Yogis.
Ale někdy shledáme, že dokonce i Asurové se v uvozovkách odávají nejvyššímu pánu, svému odání.
Mm. The demons, they showed great devotion to Mohini Murti. In his Mohini Murti avatar, the Supreme Lord appeared as the most beautiful woman who was distributing Amrita, the nectar of immortality.
Nejvyšší pán se zjevil jednou jako Mohini Murti, jako nejkrásnější žena, aby rozdělávala nektar nesmrtelnosti.
So the demons, desiring sense gratification and desiring immortality in this body, they became the devoted servants of Mohini Murti. Does that mean these demons were bhaktas? Obviously not. They saw in Mohini Murti the fulfillment of their own material desires. And of course, she cheated them. And similarly, there's the avatar of Lord Buddha also, who is promising the demons a non-Vedic form of liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So all around the world, even today, there are many followers of Buddha. And from the point of view of Veda, anybody who follows Buddha is classified as Asura.
A z védského pohledu je každý následovník Buddhy v podstatě Asura.
Because they reject the Vedas.
Protože oni odmítají Vedy.
But Buddha is a form of the Supreme Lord who has come to teach a path of upadharma, something that looks like dharma, something that looks like religion, to the demons.
Ale Buddha je podoba nejvyššího pána, který přišel učit upadharmu, neboli něco, co vypadá jako dharma, a přišel to učit démony.
And to attract them, he dangles the promise of mukti, of liberation. Mm-hmm. So then they become apparently very devoted to this form of Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that this type of so-called devotion is even visible in the demons. So therefore, we can understand that the Karmis, Gyanis, Yogis, they're actually not very exalted after all.
Můžeme vidět, že tento druh odanosti mají dokonce i démoni, takže Gyani, Karmi a Yogi nejsou tak znešení, jak by se mohlo zdát.
Sometimes this question comes up in the minds of devotees about so-called pious persons who follow other religious processes like Christianity or whatever it may be. So they want to know, what is their position? Are they something like us? Are they semi-Vaishnavas? Or, or what are they?
Někdy odaní to přemýšlejí o tom, jaké je vlastně postavení zbožných lidí, kteří následují nějaký jiný náboženství. náboženský proces, jsou to nějaký polovajšnové nebo něco jako vajšnové, nebo kdo to je, jsou to odaní. Ne?
But if the motivation for their path is actually material, this so-called bhakti, which is aimed simply at promoting one's own self, then no, they are not Vaishnavas.
Ale jestliže jejich motivace je hmotná, motivace v procesu takzvaného bhakti, pak nejsou to Vaishnava.
Well, what are they then? Are they demons?
A co teda jsou? Jsou to démoni?
No, we don't have to call them demons necessarily either, although sometimes they are. But there is a term that's used in the Padma Purana, a bhakti droha. Bhakti droha means one who may be a strict follower of some path, even Vedic path, but he is actually opposed to bhakti. Padma Purana says, bhakti droha kariye chasidanti jagatatraya. That these bhakti drohis, they're actually a great disturbance to the whole universe. because they take up authorized, some of them anyway, they may take up an authorized path, Vedic path, which will yield results, which by which they will become powerful.
Protože oni věnují se těm autorizovanému vedskému systému, který přinese své výsledky, oni budou povýšení.
But because they are not devotees of the Lord, therefore by that same power they attain, that same high position, they create disturbance in the universe.
Ale jelikož to nejsou vedení pána, tak tím tou svojí silou, kterou získají, to udělají akorát zmatek a rozruch.
Padma Purana says, "Dvasam dukam apana," that their method is dvasa dukam. Dvasa means very difficult. These methods, karma, jnana, yoga, they're difficult. And dukkham, they're full of misery. And ultimately, they're futile.
In
the ultimate sense, they attain nothing from them. It is stated in the same verse from Padma Purana, that alam vritair, alam tirtair, alam yogair, alam makai, alam jnana kata, alapair, ekaiva. What is that? Anyway, this much means what I've said, means that one may attempt to be liberated. One may attempt to be liberated by visiting holy places, alam tirthai, or by alam yoga, by yoga, or by performing sacrifices.
Člověk se může snažit o osvobození pomocí cesty na posvátných míst, na posvátná místa, nebo pomocí jogy, nebo pomocí obětí.
Or alam jnana, kata alapaya, means discussing philosophy, the jnana path. But ekaiva mukti bhaktida, there is actually only one way to mukti. Ekaiva means one. And that is bhakti, by devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So that is why the Brahma Sanghita declares Vedeshu Dulabam. by following the Vedas, it is very difficult to obtain pure devotional service or a pure understanding of Krishna. Because the Vedas, the teachings of the Vedas, have mixed into them karma, jnana, yoga. And so these paths actually lead the soul away from the true goal. So, Vedeshu Durlabham, it is very difficult to understand Krishna by following the Vedas. But Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau, through pure devotion of the soul, Atma Bhakti, then Krishna is very easily revealed. But to get this Atma Bhakti, this pure devotion, one must get the association of a pure devotee. And that's what is very rare. Although the statement is very easy to become Krishna conscious through pure devotion, then Shastra also says, but it is very rare to find a pure devotee in whose association one will cultivate pure devotion. Padma Purana says, Vaikuntha Sarika Panta Gupto is a very nice statement. Vaikuntha Sarika means, just like we say, sadhana bhakti, the practice of devotional service. So a sadhaka is one who follows that practice. So a sadhaka, a devotee whose goal is Vaikuntha, that devotee is very difficult to find. Vaikuntha, sadhaka, panta, gupta. The word gupta means hidden. It's very hard to find such a devotee who is on the path back home, back to Godhead. One can find so many so-called devotees who are following some other panta, some other path to heavenly planet or impersonal Brahman or even realization of super soul. So the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord, is most exalted. Therefore, he is most rare. Lord, the Supreme Lord says, Sangsaro Vaishnava, I have given to the Vaishnavas this whole universe. Samsara Vaishnava Adino, yes, and Deva Vaishnava Palita. These demigods, whom the karmis and so on, they think they are the controllers. But they're actually only the protectors of the Vaishnavas. The Lord says, Aham cha Vaishnava Adina, I am also under the care of the Vaishnavas. Tasmat Shreta Cha Vaishnava, So who is higher than the Vaishnavas? They are the topmost. So if the Vaishnavas are in the topmost position, if the Lord himself says, aham cha Vaishnava adino, I am under the care of the Vaishnavas. So that means that devotional service is the topmost goal. The supreme goal of the Vedas is service to Vishnu. So that means that those who want to be master, they can never attain the supreme goal. So karmis, jnanis, yogis are thereby excluded. And yet again, the Vaishnavas are the masters. Because, as Prabhupada said, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, comes into their hand. Srila Prabhupada said, just see Mother Yashoda. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, whom all the demigods are worshipping, who is the origin of all the universes, he's lying in the arms, like a helpless baby, of Mother Yashoda. Even in this, of course, we cannot compare ourselves to Mother Yashoda, but even at this stage of devotional service, we see how Krishna has come into our hand. In the deity worship, the Archana Vidhi, the Lord, he's come on the altar. He's fully dependent upon us for services. He's assumed this form of helplessness. Simply because he wants to be served by his devotees. So the Lord accepts whatever his devotees offer him, foodstuffs. If the foodstuffs come late, what can he do? Of course, bhakti, the principle of pure devotion, demands that the offering be on time.
Bhakti.
Yes. But as we know, sometimes it is not. So the Lord places himself, you see, in the hands of his devotees. He comes in the form of his holy name. And so he places himself on the tongue of his devotees. So in this way, you see, Krishna, he gives himself, even to the neophyte devotees. This is how powerful the process of bhakti is. And he's not giving himself to karmis, jnanis, and yogis. They at best get only a partial manifestation of the Lord. And the devotees in turn, the Lord gives himself to the devotees in turn give the Lord to others. This is the most wonderful conclusion of the bhakti process. This is why no mercy can be compared to the mercy of the Vaishnavas, who freely distribute the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth, to the fallen conditioned souls. So I will stop here. Are there any questions? Yes. So, yes, Sripad Shankaracharya is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. And there are verses in the Puranas in which Lord Shiva explains the purpose of his coming as Shankaracharya. So he says that in order to increase the population of Varnashankara, unwanted progeny, I descend in the form of a brahmana and teach the Mayavadi philosophy. Yes? You translate it? Okay. So Shankaracharya, yes, he appeared in India and he was preaching this Vedanta philosophy to philosophers. So philosophers are always they represent a very small percentage of the population. But philosophers influence the rest of the population. It's the intellectual class that always sets the values for the rest of society. Whether or not the rest of the society understands the philosophy, but the values come down. So, the value, the Mayavadi value, is Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya, that the impersonal absolute is the truth, and this material world is Mithya, it has no meaning. So, those who are very desirous of attaining impersonal liberation, those philosophers, they therefore renounce the material world as being illusion, and they strive to merge their consciousness into impersonalism. But this value system comes down to the common people with a different, let us say, a different accent on it, a different stress, a different direction. The common people understand in this way that the absolute truth is totally uninteresting. And the material, and in this material world, it doesn't matter what you do. Because it's unreal anyway. When I was a child, I remember learning a nursery rhyme. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. So, this is Mayavadi philosophy in the form of a child's nursery rhyme. You see? So the idea here is that life is a dream, it has no ultimate meaning, so you might as well just have a good time while you can. And for common people, this Brahma Satyam, this impersonal absolute, it is something it's just beyond, you know, just something. It sounds so vague and impersonal, they will not be interested in attaining this type of liberation. So, effectively, this philosophy closes the door to any relationship with the Supreme Lord. And leaves the mind and the senses with nothing else to do except engage in material activities. So, as we know, love is seen in its pure transcendental form when it is expressed in bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotion to the Supreme Lord. But when the door to bhakti has been shut, has been apparently sealed off by this Mayavadi philosophy, then there's only the perverted reflection of love, which is lust. And along with that, the Mayavadi philosophy teaches that this world is unreal. So if somebody says, well, to engage in lusty activities is sinful, Mayavadi philosophy says, there's no sin. The world's unreal. There's no heaven, there's no hell. So in this way, the Mayavadi philosophy pervades human society in the form of illicit sex. And the, let us say, amorality, you know, the lack of morality that comes along with it, this idea that it doesn't matter, you see, what's wrong with it? If somebody says, this is sinful, what are you talking about? There is no sin. You see, implicit, those who promote this this illicit sex in society. If you study what their arguments, you find it is Mayavadi philosophy. You see? So this is how Mayavadi philosophy is propagated through the world. It's okay, because, as I said, Vaikuntha Saraka Panta Gupto, the path of the Vaikuntha Sarak is hidden. So Lord Brahma is actually Vaikuntha Saraka, but that's not very well known. It's hidden. As it is also said, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava. But how many followers of Lord Shiva know that? Not too many. It is hidden. So there's no contradiction. The service that he gives his second initiated disciples is more confidential. For instance, the deity worship. The deity worship means personal service. Of course, it's at the beginning stage. Deity worship is the beginning of personal service to the Supreme Lord. But as the disciple renders personal service to the deity, as initiated Brahmana Vaishnava, then that relationship, it deepens and deepens. So the spiritual master is, he's guiding the disciple in this ever deepening personal relationship. And this culminates in the disciples entering into the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. Right. Is there any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai,
Sutra Maharaj ki jai.